is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
As an American coach trying to coach professionally in Europe, it's hard to get into France. It's hard to get into Spain. So my mentality was, let me go be a national team coach in the future, and then those guys will respect it. And I'll, you know, have these opportunities to get into some of these countries and places that maybe they wouldn't look at you or consider you before.
Mike Taylor has coached basketball at various levels all over the world. He most recently served as the head coach of the Fraser Valley Bandits professional team in Canada. From 2014 to 2021, Mike was the Polish national team coach, where he led Poland from FIBA world ranking number 42 to number 13. He also guided Poland to their first World Cup in 52 years and only their second overall. Mike served as an assistant coach for the Czech Republic national team from 2009 to 2013. He has coached professionally in Germany and England. In addition to his overseas experience, he has coached with the Maine Red Claws in the NBA G League, the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, the Kansas Cagers, and the Dodge City Legends. Mike started his coaching career as a graduate assistant coach at Clarion University, followed by stints as an assistant at Indiana University of Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh State, before heading overseas to coach professionally in Germany.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Corey Heights from Prep Athletics, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
3R Basketball, powered by Under Armour, is coming to Cleveland this fall. Get your 3-on-3 team together and register at ua3rbasketball.com. Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Take some notes as you listen to this episode with Mike Taylor, international basketball coach.
Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel this morning, but I am pleased to be joined by Mike Taylor, international basketball coach, then all over the world, coaching the great game of basketball. Mike, welcome to the Hoopheads pod.
Thank you, Mike. Happy to be here.
Excited to have you on. Looking forward to being able to dig into all the things that you've been able to do in your coaching career. Let's go back in time to when you were a kid. Tell us about some of your first experiences with the game of basketball.
Well, growing up in our family, my dad was also a coach, and I think he was obviously a great role model, a great example for us. And he coached us not only in basketball, but other sports as well. Little League Baseball helped us a lot with football. But obviously being around his teams in practice, and, you know, I was a ball boy during his time at Clarion University. So I have all these wonderful memories about, you know, being around my dad and being around his team and the game, going to camps and just all kinds of things. So, you know, I loved all sports growing up, but at the end of the day, I just felt like there was something special with a connection with basketball. And because of my dad's example, I always was like, hey, you know what? When I get older, I really want to, you know, get into coaching like my dad. So that's kind of the way it all started. And I've had, you know, wonderful life experiences with the game. And I think the earliest memories growing up are really centered around my dad.
When you think about all the opportunities that you had to be around your dad and watch him coach and be around his teams. And then you think about your own development as a coach. Are there one or two things that you can point to that you feel like are a part of your coaching today that came from the influence of your dad?
There's no doubt. He's been my biggest influence and he's been my biggest example. Early on, you know, I remember watching him scout games on TV, sitting in his chair with a notepad, writing down notes, writing down ideas. And, you know, then of course I would go upstairs and do the same thing. You know, I would kind of imitate that, and there'd be a game on TV and I'd try to write down different things. So he challenged me at a young age in terms of understanding, you know, the game. And then in terms of coaching, you know, how do you think practice should run? What do you think your team should do offensively? What should you do defensively? And we would have all kinds of conversations as I got older in terms of managing a team and running a team and handling personalities and players. And all aspects of coaching. And I think this was the biggest, let's say positive and biggest advantage I had is just the regular day conversations that would come up just about basketball and sports and how you handle all the different situations that a coach needs to be able to handle. So all of those things I think were really, really important in terms of me being able to develop my own philosophy early on.
As a player, were you thinking about the game more from a coaching perspective, maybe than some of your teammates, or were you not even processing it that way as you're playing? What was your thought process as a player compared to, hey, how you're looking at it as a coach? Did those two things bleed into each other?
Well, I think that if you, like most of the times when you associate, hey, this is a coach's son, you just understand, there's an understanding of the game. You expect the coach's son to have a real, let's say, high IQ or good feeling for the game because they theoretically or you would think spend a lot more time around it. So, you know, growing up playing other sports, I actually went to Florida Southern to play baseball as a freshman. And, you know, I was like, hey, I'm going to try to be a baseball player and worked as hard as I could. But at some point I realized like, hey, man, I got to spend a lot of time to get better in baseball. But I knew in my heart I wanted to coach basketball. So I ended up transferring back up to IUP, Indiana, Pennsylvania. And at that point, you know, I was not a great basketball player, right? Just a guy that loved the game and really understood how to play. So I walked on the team there and basically, you know, turned into be a 3-year captain at IUP. And it wasn't because I was a great player, it was because, you know, the leadership aspects and just understanding of the game. And I think the work ethic and everything just kind of fell in place. But I think everybody at that time knew like Mike is going to be a coach. And I think, you know, that was kind of my perspective. My perspective was always trying to get playing experience so I would have the feeling of, you know, handling players, handling teams, handling the situation. And that's kind of the way things worked out. Immediately after IUP, I went in to be a graduate assistant at Clarion. And that's what got me started in coaching.
Always thinking college coaching?
Yes, I was. And what's interesting is, you know, again, with my dad's example as a role model, I would just imagine myself coaching at a college. And, you know, for 3 summers while I was a graduate assistant and into my first assistant coaching job at IUP, I would work summer camps. And I worked 11 camps a summer all over the USA, every school you can imagine. I kind of targeted a coach. Oh, I'm interested in Patino's press system. So I'm going to go to Kentucky. I'm going to go to Florida where Billy Donovan was. I tried to build up a network and target different coaches that I liked or that I was interested in learning, you know, because at camps at that time, there was always the chalk talk on Thursday or Friday night, you know, and you would have that chance to sit down and talk to the coaches and talk to the staff and ask questions. And I made a lot of great friends to this day during that time. And also too, the experience and being able to talk basketball with some great college coaches. So I was really focused on coaching in college. I was a graduate assistant for 2 years, Clarion University, where my dad was, he's not coaching anymore. I was under Dr. Ron Ryder at the time. But at the same time, then I went back to IUP. Was there for 3 years And then I went to Pittsburgh State in Kansas and was under Coach Gene Iba for a year. At that point, I had the opportunity to go overseas. And with my focus being completely on college coaching at the time, I really didn't know what I was getting into. You know, I was into helping guys get into the pro game. This was at the Division II level. So I took several of our players to, you know, different tryout camps in Virginia and Utah, different places where they could get some visibility and pursue those professional dreams. And one of the things that I did was through a group called Planet Basketball. I took as an assistant coach in 97, I went to 97, 98. I went to the Caracas, Venezuela as an assistant coach. And then a couple summers later, I went as a head coach to Finland and the Czech Republic. And that was my first experience really being in Europe and seeing the European basketball game. So I had a friend that was, he was from Portland and he had a chance to go to Portland University as a director of operations, Aaron Christian. And the coach he was working for at the time had placed a coach in Chemnitz, Germany. And this coach wanted to come back home to San Diego. So they offered Aaron the job in Chemnitz. And Aaron was like, no, you know what? It's great. Thank you. But I want to go to Portland where my wife and I are from. So he knew, you know, we met at camps and things like this. And he knew like, hey, Mike, would you be interested in this? Yeah, send in my stuff. And that's kind of how I got my opportunity to go to Chemnitz, Germany. You know, I went over in the third division. It was Regional Liga at the time. And I think this is the point. A lot of guys are like, oh, I'd love to coach overseas, but they want to go overseas at the top level. And that's not realistic. You know, like I went over and started in a lower level. And even to this day, some of the greatest memories I have are of that lower level coaching overseas, where you have a couple students, you have a couple guys working in town, you have a couple pros, and it's just kind of it's a fun level. You know, you're practicing at night most of the time so that everybody can coordinate their schedules. And, you know, it's just not on a really, let's say, high level. So that was 2001 in Chemnitz. But I clearly never really thought about overseas basketball. And then when I got there, it was like, yeah, this is great. I'm really enjoying not only the basketball side of it, but the life experience side of it too. And that's something I really never thought of growing up. It was always like, I just want to be a college coach, kind of like my dad.
Was that something when you pack up and you're going overseas for the first time, was that something that as you were going through the process of making that decision, was living in another country, going overseas, how did you feel and process that? Was that something that you knew you were going to like because just of who you are, or was that something that you were a little nervous about?
To be honest, it was like, hey, you know, I want to be a head coach. I want to have head coaching experience. If I'm going to be in the college game, I'm going to have to wait for it and I'm going to have to work for it. So what I planned was go overseas, get head coaching experience, build my international network, be able to, you know some players and things like this, and then come back and get into the college game. But from Chemnitz, we won our league. You know, we basically moved the team up from the third division to the second division. They wanted to sign me back the night we won the championship game. I was going into the old USBL as an assistant in the Dodge City with the Dodge City Legend. To coach in the summer. I was going to be the assistant coach out there. Cliff Levingston was the head coach at the time. And basically I told him, hey, you know, this will end July 1st, July 2nd. At that time, you know, I'll have a real clear picture. Let's talk then. They just moved on. So I was kind of like looking, okay, I need to find something. And this is when the Essex Leopards, the London Leopards, basically they called and they brought the team back. And they offered me the job later that summer. And that's how I ended up going from Germany to the UK. That whole situation was a great experience. You know, Nick Nurse was coaching the Brighton Bears and Chris Finch was coaching the Sheffield Sharks. I loved the league. It was really cool. And instead of like in Europe, you're playing basically a Saturday or Sunday game, a weekend game, with every once in a while a Friday, Sunday doubleheader. You know, in Britain at the time, you would play any day of the week. So, you know, I would run a practice in the morning or in the early afternoon and then drive to scout games, you know, where we were just outside London. It was a great location to just get to different places. So I was spending a lot of time, you know, live scouting and, you know, just really working on all the different aspects of coaching. And I think that's one of the things about coaching overseas is, you know, in the USA, many times you have a big staff, a big support staff. And I think overseas, you may have one assistant, two assistants, if you're lucky. You know, you end up doing a lot of things yourself. So, and again, around the year 2000, 2001, 2002, there was not the big, let's say, scouting online with, you know, let's say Synergy and some of these other possibilities. So I was doing a lot of live scouting, driving to games and things like this. You know, our team in the UK was not very good. We basically crashed at the end of the season and the team folded, came back a year or two later with the support of the fans as a first division team. So not the British Basketball League. And they're still there, but basically they brought the team back, the team crashed. And then I was basically, they're like, hey, you can help us bring the team back, stay here. And, you know, and I'm like, man, I want to coach basketball. I don't want to sit here and try to save the franchise, you know? So that's when I got connected with Ulm, Germany, and kind of, that's where I kind of made my name in Ulm for, I was there for eight seasons, 2003 to 2011. We moved the team up from the second league to the first league. We built it into a playoff team. And then basically at that point, you know, when we had the team in the playoffs, they came to me and said, hey, look, there's going to be a new arena, in a couple of years. We just want to keep the team in the league and we want to focus on young players. So we basically let most of our veteran guys go. And we brought in some young prospects, some really talented guys who are a couple of them just finishing their careers in basketball in Europe. And they've had great runs. So I was there for eight seasons. And basically, you know, you go to a team, and I really am a big believer in being a fit. You know, you as a coach have to have the value system, and it's got to match the values of your management and organization. And when you can find that, then you can really do some great things together. And I just was a really good fit for Ulm at the time. You know, they really wanted to move the team up. So as a young coach, I was able to, you know, take on that challenge. It took us into our third year. Our third year, we went 29-1 and won our league and moved up. And, you know, in Germany, in Europe, the promotion relegation system in Germany, it's called the Aufstieg. That's like a really big deal for these teams and towns. And, you know, so, okay, I'm in Chemnitz. We have the Aufstieg from third division to second division. I'm in Ulm. We go from second division to first division. So now you start to build a really positive reputation. Towards the end of my Ulm time, let's say not the end, but let's say 2009, 2010, when we started to really refocus on the younger players, one of my good friends, Pavel Budinski, a coach from the Czech Republic, was named the national team head coach of Czech Republic. And I met Pavel when I was in Chemnitz. Komutov, the team he was coaching in the lower division in Czech, was 40 kilometers from Chemnitz. And we got to be really good friends. We would play friendly games. We had a training camp in Komutov. You know, I would go visit his family. He would come watch my games. So we got to be really good friends in coaching. And so he gets named the Czech national team coach and is like, Mike, would you like to, you know, be an assistant with Czech Republic? And of course, I was like, yes. We had a couple players, Konrad Vasaki, Per Gunther, and then Robin Benzing in Ulm. These guys were a part of the German national team program. So we were developing some national team caliber young players through our program. And I got to see the national team game for the first time in Ulm. And I was like, man, this is really cool. I really think this is great. I would love to be involved someday. And I think the other factor for me was, you know, as a coach in Europe, the market is not as big as you think it is, right? It's like, oh, there's all these countries, there's all these teams, all these divisions. But a lot of these countries are really difficult to get into. Let's say France is very protective and they really support the domestic coaches. And that's not bad. It's not wrong. But as an American coach trying to coach professionally in Europe, you know, it's hard to get into France. It's hard to get into Spain. So my mentality was, let me go be a national team coach in the future. And then those guys will respect it. And I'll, you know, have these opportunities to get into some of these countries and places that maybe, you know, they wouldn't look at you or consider you before. So I jumped at the chance to be with Pavel, and we started in the B division at the time, the lower division. And then they revamped the whole national team system. So I was with Czech Republic for 4 years, and we built it up. We qualified for Eurobasket 2013 in Slovenia. And we won the first two games there for the, you know, in 17 years for Czech Republic at Eurobasket. We had a great upset win over Poland, and that would later help me, you know, when I was, you know, applying for the Poland job.
Right.
So that's kind of how that thing all came together. But after my time in Ulm, when my contract was not renewed, Nick Nurse was leaving Iowa Energy and going to RGV, the Vipers in Rio Grande Valley in the D League. And he hired me to come down there and be an assistant. And he really helped me out a lot in terms of understanding the D League. And you know, I don't think it was, you know, the best year for us. Obviously, there's high expectations with RGV trying to win a championship. And we did not that year. But in terms of learning the league and understanding it and being around the Rockets and Rocket Ball and everything, it was really great for development. That next year, I got a chance to be the head coach of the Maine Red Claws. You know, the Celtics hired me. And basically, these were two really important years developmental wise. I was around Doc Rivers and his staff their last season in Boston. And Doc was really good to me. And basically, I was around the Celtics a lot and with them for their playoff series against New York, and just, you know, on the European trip playing Fenerbahce in Istanbul and in Milan. So we had, you know, great experiences there, but the chance to work on my game, you know, I spent a lot of time talking defense with those guys and tried to really improve myself defensively. You know, over, I think in Europe, I was known as kind of a guy that was really good with players. I, you know, people say players coach, but I just think a guy that was really good with players, positive motivator. But then at the same time, just a, you know, pretty creative offensive coach. But to be honest, let's say maybe not the most, you know, best defensive guy at the time. So, you know, kind of doing a self-assessment and like, okay, how can I really get better? How can I really use this opportunity? That was kind of the way that, you know, ask questions and try to build your defensive system and take it to the next level. And one of the best things happened to me when I, you know, and I'll get back to the Celtics stuff in a minute, but, you know, a guy that I had coached against, he was coaching for Alba Berlin, Luka Pavicevic. We got to be really good friends. We beat Alba Berlin in Ulm in 2007, 2008. We beat them twice, once in Ulm and once in Berlin. And then we took them to double overtime in a cup game in Berlin. And from that time, we just had their number. And Luka, a great coach there in the EuroLeague at the time, he's looking at this and he's like, so we got to be really good friends. I would go visit him for EuroLeague games when I had free time, and we would, you know, be out late in Berlin talking basketball. And what I liked about Luka so much was his background from the former Yugoslavia coaching and former Yugoslavia school. And this was really interesting to talk basketball with him and get his perspective and philosophy. And we were just very different. You know, he was very methodical, just really coaches in charge. And you do it this way. And again, you know, I was a little different. You know, I was just always trying to build a positive environment and have good relationships with the players and things like this. So I think we had mutual respect from different perspectives. But he was coaching the Montenegro team my first year in Poland, and we played them in a friendly game. And after the game, we met and went out and we're talking like we had done many times before. And he's like, Mike, it's different now. Your team is different now. And I thought that was one of the best compliments that I could ever receive coaching wise. A guy that knew me, that was, I think, a colleague and mutual respect, could see there was difference in the way we defended, the way we played, the way we were structured. And, you know, coming from the former Yugoslavia school, I thought that was really, really, you know, respectful. I took that as like, hey, man, I'm on the right track. So getting back to the Celtics, Doc left after my first year. And a lot of his staff went out to LA with him. And then Brad Stevens came in. So I had the good fortune to be around the Celtics, you know, and work closely and observe these great coaches. So, you know, you look at some of the great coaches in the game right now, you talk about Nick Nurse, what he's doing in Toronto and Canada. And then you talk about, you know, Doc and, you know, Brad. I think these are fantastic guys. So it's like, okay, you've seen the best, you've seen how the best work, you've seen what they do. You try to take some of the good things from them and try to build yourself up in your own image, in your own way to be yourself. But you know what the best is like, you know, what, you know how they are, you know what it is, you know, you have a clear picture. So after 2 years with Maine, you know, we made the playoffs for the first time in team history. My first year, second year, we struggled a little bit, you know, obviously the changeover from Doc to Brad. Brad was learning a lot about everything. And, you know, our team, we basically had some good things happen along the way, but it was, you know, you see the good parts of the D League, you see the tough parts. I coached in the All-Star game the first year and then and made the playoffs. And then the next year we just, you know, we couldn't really put it together. So during that time, that's when I got the Poland job. I think I was hired in January of my second D League season. So after that, it was just like, all right, I'm going to focus on being the national team head coach in Poland. And I kind of went over there really on a mission to really, you know, take Poland to the next level. And I kind of went in there, and I mean, a lot of these guys, they were in a tough spot. That 2013 Eurobasket, they really struggled. They had, you know, high expectations because Marcin Gortat, Maciek Lampe, two NBA players were playing on the team together. And it's like, oh, you got these great players. But those two guys really didn't work together well at all. And in fact, we never had them together during my, you know, 7-8 years in Poland. We would have one guy 1 year, another guy a different year. We only had Gortat once in 2015, and then he kind of retired. But, you know, they were in such a bad spot. When I went into Poland, they're like, who is this guy? So we had some really good players not play. And I basically had to prove myself from the beginning. And that first year we won our qualification group. We beat Germany twice. We had, you know, really good experience. And it was not a star mentality. It was not about one player. It was about the team. You know, we brought an NBA system with terminology, and I think, you know, modern game. The players were super responsive to the coaching style, which was, you know, in Poland, the tradition, the history has been the former Yugoslavia, the Balkan way, where, you know, coaches are dominating their teams and, you know, just fighting their players and doing all kinds of stuff. My mentality was, I'm coming in with creating a positive environment. I'm coming in communicating. I'm coming in building positive relationships. And I think it was like a breath of fresh air to some of these guys. You know, a lot of these players have played for a lot of different coaches and have seen a lot of different things. So when you get these veterans that really respond in a great way, you know, you're making a positive impact with different coaching styles and ideas. And, you know, for Poland, you know, the Eurobasket 2015 with Gortat, we won three games in the first round. We advanced to the second round and we played Spain. We hung with them for three quarters, and then they had a big run. If you know, if you're familiar with it, Pau Gasol had 32 points in the game and hit 6 of 7 3-point shots. And this was before he was really known as a 3-point shooter. At that time, you know, Marcin Gortat was like an inside defender. He wasn't used to guarding on the perimeter, but we didn't expect Gasol to come out there and, you know, bomb threes like he did, you know? So, yep. You know, you just tip your cap to Gasol, and he played amazing in that tournament. So they ended up winning. The next year we came back and won our qualification group again. So the first 3 years of Poland were really successful, really fantastic. Could not have gone better in a lot of ways. And then, excuse me, unfortunately in 2017, Gortat was no longer with the team. And we basically were trying to incorporate Szemek Karnowski as the main center from the former Gonzaga big man. And, you know, that really put the team in a difficult situation. We weren't all on this, excuse me. We weren't all on the same page. We had some internal stuff going on at the time, and you know, combine in Helsinki, Finland, we won one game at that group. We were up 9 against Finland with 90 seconds to go and basically turned the ball over, fouled a 3-point shooter, turned the ball over from the sideline. Everything, you know, it's like everything you could imagine that you don't want to do, we right. did. We ended up losing. Lauri Markkanen played great, and they won in double overtime. But, you know, like I said, in 2015 from France, we lost by 3 to France with Tony Parker and Boris Diaw and all these guys, Gobert. And then that game in 2017, those two games playing on the host floor and losing, I think eventually helped us get our biggest win in China. But after 2017, you know, there was a lot of heat. There was a lot of pressure. You know, there was, you know, the national team jobs are very political. And I think that at that time, you know, there were some people that were working against me. And this was where I first started to see kind of, let's see, the reality side of it. You know, the first 3 years, really successful, everything great. And then you have to protect yourself. You have people coming after you. I'm very fortunate, you know, during that tough period, the president of the Federation, Grzegorz Bohanski, we had a meeting. We sat down. He wanted to hear my vision for the future. We talked about everything. And he stuck with me. And from that point forward, we kind of got the guys who had their hearts in the national team in it. And this was maybe not the best known players. We had a player named Adam Hrdzanyuk. We called him Beast, big, strong, physical post defender. He played at the University of Cincinnati in college. He was just blue collar, just tough. And he wasn't a great offensive player. But, you know, everybody's like, oh, you got to have Gortat. You got to have Lampe. You got to have these other guys. You know, the guy that fit our team the best was Hrdzanyuk, because he didn't need the ball. He executed, he defended, he did all the little things, all the dirty work. And basically his heart was in it. So it was guys like this, you know, there was a player that, you know, we called, he never really thought he was ever going to be on a national team. We called him and he's like, oh, you know, starts crying because he really wanted to be there.
Yep.
All of these things kind of came together and we got it right. And this was when we went on our big run and qualified for the World Cup, the first World Cup in 52 years for Poland, the second of all time. And not only did we go, but we, you know, we won our group. We won against China in overtime in Beijing. That's probably my most memorable win. Then we beat Russia in the next round to, you know, qualify for the top eight. Excuse me. In the top eight, we kind of reached our peak. We reached our limit. We lost to Spain. Then we lost to the Czech Republic. And then we finished up playing Team USA in China. And of course, that was a great experience. But, you know, after that, you know, I finished out Poland for the next 2 years, actually the next 3 years. We qualified for our third Eurobasket. We beat Spain in Spain for the first time in 48 years. So there was a lot of other good things that happened. We developed the guy. We brought in Jeremy Sochan, who's now with the San Antonio Spurs. So there was a lot of positive things the last couple of years as well. We lost in the Olympic qualifying tournament last summer to Slovenia and Lithuania. And, you know, our Olympic dreams, you know, stopped, but nobody was beating Slovenia at that time. They, with Luka Doncic, the way he played last summer was unbelievable.
Yep.
So from that standpoint, that's kind of like when things ended for me in Poland. And what I've most recently been doing, I was up in Canada in the Canadian CEBL, Canadian Elite Basketball League, with the Fraser Valley Bandits, now the Vancouver Bandits. Love the league, love the experience, really good people. And then I also did most recently some TV for FIBA at Eurobasket as a game analyst for the most recent Eurobasket. So, and, you know, that's kind of where we are right now.
What's the day-to-day like as a national coach? Like, so obviously people know, hey, we're going into this tournament or we're trying to qualify for that, but just day-to-day as a national coach, what are some of the things that you're doing on a daily basis?
Well, I think the most important thing you're doing in the big picture is building relationships. You're tracking your players. You're tracking the prospects. You know, you're organizing trips that to go visit not only teams and games in Poland, but your players that are playing all over the place. And this is one of the things I loved about the job you're not a threat to other coaches or other teams. You're a friend. You're a positive guy. You're there coming to support the players on their team. I've seen so many great coaches run practices and then gone for a coffee or gone for a lunch or dinner with great coaches and great managers. And I think it helps build your network. I think it basically, you know, this relationship building is a huge part of the national team job. So I think that's number one. Number two, the Federation will have you do all kinds of different little things. You might have a clinic here. You know, they might have a public appearance there. So these things are always on the agenda. We lived in Warsaw for, I think, 3 years of my time. And then, of course, with COVID, I was only going there for the windows and things. But, you know, you build connections, you build networks, you build these relationships, and you kind of really get to know the environment, the landscape of basketball in the country. So, you know, the time that I had with Poland was wonderful. I've got some friends for life. You know, we accomplished a lot and all of those things. I guess I would say it's more of a general manager type position day to day, in terms of planning and organizing and different things. But in terms of the coaching aspect of it, that comes in when you're in a training camp or along those lines. So these were really good, I think, experiences as well, in terms of building career and, you know, having a chance to build up the national team, build up the organization, track all the prospects and just be involved with all aspects of it.
Absolutely. You've been able to have your hand in a lot of different things, as you talked about earlier in your career, where you don't have a lot of assistance and you're doing those things that maybe a head coach has somebody else. If you have a bigger staff that can do that, but because you got the opportunity to do those things earlier in your career, I'm sure that benefited you as you move forward. One of the things that I've heard you say a bunch of times is talking about how you wanted to build an environment, a culture where it was player friendly and where you were trying to build those relationships with your players. Was that something that you knew you wanted to do right from the start? Or was that something that sort of evolved over time as you got the opportunity to watch and connect with all these other great coaches that you had an opportunity to interact with?
I've always been a naturally positive person. I've always kind of been a leadership type person, you know, in teams and sports. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, my faith and things like this. So the values that I have as a person, the values that I bring, I think those things just naturally show through. But in terms of coaching, again, you go back to like my dad's example, like, how do you think the team should be? How do you think? And when you're around good coaches who communicate well and who create this good environment, and who have good relationships with players, I think this is the key for coaches. You have to be who you are. You have to be yourself. But can you maintain that positive relationship, that positive energy, and you know, still be respected and things like this? And I think that this is where the personality comes in. You know, I've always kind of had the mentality of fun with discipline. I want players to enjoy coming to the gym. I want people to have fun with basketball. But you can't just have too much fun, because then you're not going to win. You're not going to work. So you have to have that discipline. And the point is, I feel like the coach, as he's reading the team, if you're having too much fun and messing around too much and you're not locked in, that's where the coach comes in and in the right way addresses it and adds the discipline. And sometimes the other way, you can have too much stress, too much pressure, you know, on the team. That's where you have to kind of find a way to ease it and find a way to help the players enjoy it and have fun. So this fun with discipline has kind of been always what I've tried to build. But again, you know, people do what they know. So if you you want to be a coach, you've been around, you know, the old school in the USA, you know, yellers and guys that are trying to dominate their team. If that's what you know, that's what you've seen, you know, more often than not, that's what you're going to do. Unless you say, hey, I think there's a better way. I want to try to do something else. You know, but again, we all have to be who we are. And for me, it's just being a naturally positive person, being, you know, a good communicator and trying to help guys have fun. But I do really believe that we as people are at our best when we love what we're doing, when we're having fun with what we're doing, when we're enjoying what we're doing. I think that's when people are at their best. And the point is, how can you get not only one person, but a whole group? How can you get a whole team with the whole team dynamics? How can you get that team to that point where everybody's really enjoying it, you know? And we know you have a big win and there's always one person who's not happy. You know, you can't,
yep, right.
You can't waste your energy on that one person or you'll never enjoy it. So you have to be able to detach a little bit from it and just be like, okay, you know, like we're doing the very best we can. We'll manage the situation as it is, but, you know, that's part of it. That's how it is.
I love that idea of connecting fun with the game, right? Because you think back to when you were a kid and why does anybody pick up a basketball? Because it's fun. And I think sometimes it's easy to get lost in the day-to-day minutia of what coaching is or what playing is and forget that there's supposed to be a fun aspect to it. And I think we're moving in that direction in the coaching profession. Certainly, as you mentioned earlier, you think back to what coaching was like in the 70s, 80s, early 90s, and you had much more of that dictatorship style of coaching. And not that those coaches still don't exist, because they do, but I think certainly the way the coaching profession is moving is towards that relationship building and that creating an environment where people can flourish. And as you said, when you're doing what you love, you're probably going to do it better than when you're playing out of fear. And I think that's the direction that the coaching profession is headed. And to me, that's a huge positive. Before we get out, Mike, I want to give you a chance to share how people can connect with you, find out more about you, what you're doing. So whether that's you want to share social media, email, whatever you feel comfortable with. And then after you do that, I'll jump back in and wrap things up.
I appreciate that, Mike. I'm not a big social media guy, you know, no Twitter, nothing like this, no Instagram. So basically fans or friends or people interested in coaching or connecting, people can reach out to me. Just old school email is MikeT_15@hotmail.com. And my phone number, you know, email me first and then we'll get to that next step in terms of, contact with numbers and stuff like that.
Perfect. Mike, cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule this morning to jump on with us. Really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. 3R Basketball, powered by Under Armour, is coming to Cleveland this fall. Get your 3-on-3 team together and register at ua3rbasketball.com. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.